Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in the Word of God to the book of the Psalms. We're turning to the Psalm 119. You'll find the Psalm 119 in the middle part of the Old Testament. And we're turning to the verse 113 of that Psalm, reading down just to the end of the verse 128. So Psalm 119, beginning our reading at the verse 113. And while you're looking it up, we've had everyone who are but of welcome in the Saviour's name. It's good to see each one gathered with us tonight. And our prayer is the Lord will bless you tonight around God's Word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Do remember the meetings over the weekend. Pray for them Friday night here, 6:30, the children's meeting, youth fellowship at 8 o'clock. And then the services here in the Lord's Day Sunday School and Bible class, 11 o'clock in the morning. Morning worship, 12 noon. The evening gospel service at 7. And God willing, we'll be along to minister God's Word. Pray for these meetings. Plan to join with us and invite and encourage others along as well under the sound of God's Word. Psalm 119, verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live. And let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. And I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes feel for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. And deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding, that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Amen. We'll end our reading there, verse 128, praying God will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. The verse I want us just to look at tonight briefly before our season of prayer is the words there of verse 126 there of that Psalm 119, where it says, it is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. And many Bible commentators, they would ascribe Psalm 119 to David, while there are also those that would say that Daniel was the penman of the psalm. Well, whoever the penman was, the content of the psalm tells us that the writer was one who loved the word of God. And the writer was also one who loved to pray. And one of his prayers is recorded here in verse 126, our text this evening of the psalm, where it says, it is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. As the psalmist uttered these words, he was burdened. He was troubled because he was surrounded by those who were godless, those who lived as if God and his laws and his word did not exist. As a result of spiritual decay and dearth all around, the psalmist here really is praying for God to intervene. Praying, yes, for revival. His prayer is that God would turn the tide of godlessness in the land. And in essence, the psalmist was asking here for a mighty intervention from God at this particular time on the behalf of the people of God and the Church of Christ. Indeed, as there was a great need for revival in the day of the psalmist, so there is a great need for revival also in our own day and generation. Yes, we too live in a day of ever increasing in godliness. Therefore, I believe the words here of verse 126 are very appropriate for us to look at, even in a prayer meeting such as this. And as we would then consider this prayer for God's intervention, there are just three simple things I want to set before you. Notice, first of all, here the psalmist's recognition. He says there, they have made void thy law. He says that in the verse 126. By those words, the psalmist really tells how there had been a great falling away from the things of God in his day. There were those who had turned away from the things of God and had forthrightly and outrightly rejected the laws of God. That phrase there, to make void, literally means to break in two, or if you like, to break in pieces. And the spirit here of the day was one of breaking and flouting the law of God. And you know, people, whenever you think about that, you see here how the Bible is always up to date. When we think here of this complaint of the psalmist, do we not also see a picture of our own land and our own society today? In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24 and the verse 12, Christ there speaks of the end times. And this is what he says. He says, and iniquity shall abound. What are the marks of the end times? A great abounding, if you like, a great increase of iniquity. Again, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, Timothy there, or Paul is writing to Timothy about the end times, and this is what he says. He says, But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And my, that is how it is in our land today. Today evil is called good, and good is now called evil. And you see this more and more, even in the laws in our land that have been passed in recent times. Just in recent days, I've heard of an evangelical pastor down in Cornwall in the south of England. And he has faced a terrible barrage of opposition because he praised the Lord on social media for the cancellation of a sodomite parade. And even a local Labour councillor in the area where he lives has now started a campaign that even all the shops and local businesses would refuse to serve this man and to do any business with him. And that's the spirit of the day. Yes, our day is a bit like the day of Pharaoh and the spirit of Pharaoh, who said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? And that's really a picture of the day in which we live. Yes, here it says, they have made void thy law. This was the case with the psalmist. And this is the case of the day in which we live in also. But notice also here the psalmist's realization. You'll see here the psalmist was a man of faith. Hence he cried out here in our text, it is time for thee, Lord, to work. In a time of great need, he believed in God. He believed that the Lord had power to intervene at this time. He believed in the Lord's willingness to hear and answer prayer and send revival. Hence he looks in faith to the Lord for blessings in the days ahead. My, he believed his day of extremity was the day of God's opportunity. And back in Psalm 86, you see there how David also expresses a similar realization. This too was a time of great need and testing for David. And in Psalm 86, verse 17, he says to the Lord, show me a token for good. There you see how his faith was firmly fixed upon the Lord to intervene. And all of this, child of God, there's a wonderful example for you and I also to follow. It says in the Gospel of Mark, it says, have faith in God. The hymn writer says, my faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Saviour divine. The hymn writer was looking in faith to the Lord. And dear believer in Christ, in these days of awful ungodliness and falling away, our eyes too are to be upon the Lord. We're to remember the Lord's goodness. We're to remember the Lord's greatness. We're to remember the fact that God changes not, that he is the great I am. Turn over there just in your Bible a little bit to Psalm 123. Psalm 123, look at verse number 2 of that psalm. It says there, "Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of their mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until he have mercy upon us." And there you see that the eyes of the psalmist there were firmly fixed upon the Lord, just as a servant or a maid would look to their master or look to their mistress. He says, "So our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until he have mercy upon us." And no matter how dark the times may be, the Lord is still able to send revival. The Bible says, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." Yes, it has rightly been said that man's requirements are no drain on the resources of God. His realization, he had faith in God. His recognition, he saw that there was a day when they had made void thy law, God's law. But notice finally here the psalmist's request. He says in our verse 126 of the psalm, he says to the Lord, "It is time for thee, Lord, to work." And with those words, he asks the Lord here to intervene. He asks the Lord here to work and to send revival in his day and generation. He asks for an intervention of God. That was his request. And people, it is a fact of history that the seasons of blessing and seasons of revival have always been preceded by the earnest prayers and supplications of the saints of God. The Word of God sets that very standard before us in 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14, where the Lord says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." And there God promises that if we pray, humble ourselves before the Lord and put things right between us and the Lord, he says there, the Lord then will hear and answer prayer and heal the land. And the Lord will bless the land. It's very interesting to note here at this point in his life that the psalmist was one who was seeking to live for God's honour and for God's truth. Notice what he says there in verse 127 and 128 of the psalm. He says, "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." And that's the most expensive gold that you can find. "Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." His desire was to live for God's honour and to live for God's truth. And dear people of God, this is how it must be with ourselves. If our prayers are not to be hindered, and we are to pray down the blessing of God upon our land and upon our nation. My Paul, writing to Timothy, said, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting." And child of God, the need of the hour is great. Let us then be those who stand in the gap. Pray for the land, pray for the nation, pray that God would intervene in mercy, that God would intervene in grace, and that God would send us seasons of spiritual refreshing and blessing again from the right hand of God. May our prayer be like that of the hymn writer. He said, "Lord, I hear of showers of blessing, thou art scattering full and free. Showers the thirsty land refreshing, let some drops descend on me." They were desirous of the blessing of God. That is why the psalmist prayed as he prayed in the psalm, "It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law." He was desirous too of the blessing of God in his day and generation. Likewise, we too are desirous of the blessing of God. That being the case, let us take this very verse before the Lord tonight in prayer. Plead it before the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to work in our land in mercy and in grace and in seasons of refreshing. For it is a day when many too have made void the law of the Lord. May the Lord bless his word and these few remarks just to our hearts and souls this evening. We'll just get down to our time.